If you have your copy of Scripture, I would ask you to turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we are going to look this evening at verses 6 to the end of the chapter, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to verse 15. I think you'll find it a help. To have your Bibles open reading along with me. And before we do, let's again go to our God praying, thanking Him for His Word and praying for His blessing on it. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, of all the things that we have to be thankful for, we thank You most of all for Your Word and for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that Word reveals. We are eternally indebted to You for speaking to us the words of grace and salvation, for calling us to repent and believe the gospel, for giving Your Son, Your infinitely precious Son, for our sins. So for all the things that we are thankful for, we are most thankful for Him, Father. We pray that we would know Him more, that through the ministry of Your Word tonight, we would leave this place seeing Him and loving Him and thanking You for Him more, that our souls would find satisfaction in Christ, that we would feast upon Him during this time of feasting and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus and pray that He would be in our presence tonight, that we would know Him, that we would know His grace and mercy. We pray these things in His name. Amen. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharings with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Well, coming here tonight, you might have expected to hear a sermon from a portion of Scripture that speaks about how by nature we are very unthankful people, that we don't thank God for all that we have. Or perhaps you came here expecting to hear a sermon on a portion of Scripture stirring up in you thanksgiving to God for all that you have, both physically, financially, in health, or even spiritually, and all that He's done for you in Christ. And as I thought about what portion of Scripture I'd preach through, I considered introducing a sermon like that with a history about the first Thanksgiving in 1620, as we've heard tonight. William Bradford journaled this. He told all the details about the difficulties that the pilgrims had coming here, all the challenges they faced, the meal that they ate in detail, telling exactly what it was they ate. And I thought that would be a good segue then to say how much more we have and how much easier it is for us in this country and how much we have to be thankful for. But I thought, you know, the danger with that would be that we would all go home and we would just be so thankful for how much we've built up for ourselves and how much we've laid up for ourselves, and we wouldn't actually make progress in learning more about the nature of thanksgiving and what it is to cause thanksgiving to abound toward God. And so I came to this passage of Scripture and found it remarkable that three times thanks unto God is mentioned in a chapter on giving. And let me just say, by way of preface, that none of your pastors asked me to preach on a sermon on giving at this time of the capital campaign here, but I think it's important because The Apostle Paul has said that there is a purpose to giving, and it is to produce thanksgiving unto God, and that the more we give unto others, the more we produce thanksgiving to God, and that we are agents of thanksgiving, and that it's not sufficient for us to sit back and say, oh, let us be thankful for how much we have, but that we would go forward and say, how can we produce thanksgiving in others and bring thanksgiving to God by what he gives? And so tonight we are going to see this worked out in three ways. We are going to see first the provision for giving, then we're going to see the purpose of giving, and then we are going to see the pattern of giving, the provision, the purpose, and the pattern. Well, Paul has been laboring to build this church up. This was a church that had promised great gifts of giving. They had promised a great giving to the Apostle Paul. They had said a year before that they were going to give a large gift to him for his needs in planting and building and establishing churches, and they had not followed through. And Paul doesn't come in bitterness. He actually comes to stir them up and to explain that it was to their benefit that they complete what they had promised to do, and that he wanted to see more grace and more fruit born in their lives. And he begins by telling them in chapter 8, this section actually begins in chapter 8, he begins by telling them that the churches of Macedonia were the only churches that shared with him. Of all the churches that Paul had poured himself out for, there was only one church, and actually really only the church in Philippi that had actually given to Paul's needs and wanted to see all that God had given them advance the kingdom of Christ. And so Paul uses them as an example. He sets them out and says, the churches in Macedonia, they were giving, they were sharing. Now you fulfill these graces in you, that you may be like them, that you may be a church that produces grace in others. And so when he finally comes to deal with the nature of giving in verse 6 of our chapter, he begins by talking about the provision of giving. And he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, this verse has been the subject to misinterpretations throughout church history. It is the very core of the health, wealth, prosperity gospel that says if you give to the church, God is going to bless you so you can have boats and cars and houses and have more and get more. If you give, the more you give, the more you get. And I think that is a great danger, because Paul very quickly explains this principle. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. That's true. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. That is a true principle. The word there is actually he who sows blessings will reap blessings. That's literally the word. It's blessings. And that's true. But he goes on to qualify it in verse 8. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. And so there is a reason why God provides and why this principle works in the church. And remember, this is being written to the church. Paul says at the beginning in verse 9, now concerning the ministering to the saints. And so let's clear the air and just be very clear that this is not talking about general giving and giving to humanitarian aid and giving to homeless shelters necessarily. Those are good things. We should do them. But Paul is speaking first to the household of faith, the covenant community. He is speaking about ministering to the needs of the saints and to the body of Christ. And there's a priority to the church, and that God gives bountifully to those that give bountifully so that they may continue to give bountifully. And so the picture is you give to the service of Christ, you give to the people of God, and God gives you more, but not for you to go out and spend and sit back and enjoy, but to give more and to continue giving more. And there's a wisdom. Paul has shown us. He is taking us down to see the inner workings of giving in the Church of Jesus Christ. He is showing us the wisdom. There is a wisdom. And many people think that Christianity is unreasonable. And I think as you read the Apostle Paul, you see that there's always a reason. There's always a wisdom to the things he says. And here, one of those things is that God wants you to give so that he'll give you more, so that you'll be an agent of giving and giving and giving. And so if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And then Paul says that in this provision, he wants them to know that all these things come from God, that it's not because of their hard work. I worked in a restaurant when I was young, and I remember distinctly having a conversation with a chef who worked there. He used to be disgruntled about how the restaurant wasn't doing better and how he wasn't making enough. And I said, well, you know, you could thank God that you have a job. And he said, I've worked hard my whole life to get where I am. And so that man didn't recognize that everything that he had come from God. And Paul wants us to know that everything that we have comes from God. And so he says God is able to make all grace abound. And then in verse 9, he quotes that Old Testament passage. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And so Paul is telling us that God is the great provider of financial support for his people. And that while, yes, he may sometimes out of the blue make money come to the needy in the church, generally the norm is that he works through his people and that you are agents and that he gives to you so that the needs of his people will be met. And as we'll see later, the purpose for this is that thanksgiving goes to God and that that's the normal way that God works. And if that doesn't happen, then by implication, God is not meeting the needs of his people and God doesn't get thanksgiving and God is not glorified. And so this is essential to the life of the church. This is essential to our life that we would understand that we are agents of grace and that using all that God gives us to build up and meet the needs of those who have little. He quoted, actually, interestingly, in chapter 8, verse 15, out of Exodus. And he took a verse that was from them gathering manna. And the verse is, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. And Paul took that as an illustration. And he says, look, just like it was when they went out and they gathered manna and many came back with full baskets and others came back with just a little bit. Those who had gathered so much, they would give out of their abundance so that there was an equality and that no one was burdened and that the church was satisfied and God was glorified and the people of God saw the goodness of God at work in the body, in the church. They saw his goodness worked out. And so Paul is reminding us first that God is the one that provides. He was the one that sent the manna. He provides everything. And he makes sure that it is distributed to the needs of his people. And Paul goes on and he says in verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, Paul was a man with a type A personality. He was never content with where the people of God were. I think that's hard for some people to understand that. Why do ministers often seem so frustrated? Why does Paul always want to say, go on, go further, that more fruit would be born in you? That he doesn't ever say, you're doing great, you're doing well, just stay where you are. But Paul wants to see grace abounding and fruits of righteousness being born in the lives of these people and wanting to see them maximize all of the grace that God has given them. And so he says in verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. And so secondly, we see now that there is a purpose to giving, and it's not just to meet the needs of the poor in the church. And that's a misconception, isn't it? We often think the goal of giving is to make sure that so-and-so or so-and-so are taken care of. And that is one goal. Paul calls it the ministering to the saints in verse 1. He says that you supply the needs of the saints in verse 12. But the greater end, the greater purpose of giving is that God would get thanksgiving, because the wisdom is if you give to others, God gets thanked in the church. If you give to gospel ministries, if you give to the poor and needy saints who are working diligently, who can't provide, God gets glorified. Let me tell you just two brief stories. I was working several jobs, putting myself through seminary, and was at a church in Greenville, and I was praying that the Lord would provide for me. I had met my wife and didn't know how I was going to have enough money to provide for us, and I had not expressed to anyone my financial needs, but I had taken them to the Lord. And a few days later, after I'd been praying, there was an envelope on the door, and there was $500 in it, and no one had told me who had given it to me. And obviously it was someone from the church I was in, and I thanked God for that money. That person had given in an anonymous way so that they wouldn't receive praise. I'm not saying all giving has to be done that way, but God got thanked for that. And to this day, and even right now, I am thanking the Lord for that. And that happened on another occasion where I knew a brother who had a need, and a friend found out how much he needed, and he gave him through their church anonymously. And that brother called me up, and he couldn't believe that someone had given him, I think it was $600. And God got thanked, and he was full of thanksgiving to God. Now, why am I saying all this? Because I hope that God will make us such a people that long to bring thanksgiving to him in how we minister out of all that we have. We have so much. It's superfluous for me to tell you how much we have. We have so much. I was standing in one room in my house today thinking, I am so unthankful. I have so much. And God wants me to take that and to use that to produce thanksgiving in others unto him. And so I hope that you will be encouraged to press on. This is a giving church. This is a church that ministers to many saints, many ministries it supports. And I want to encourage you to be generous in all your giving. Listen, there is fruit. There is fruit for everything that you give. It is the best investment you could ever do. This year, last year, we've learned that there are not many good investments. You've probably had many discussions yourself. This is the best investment you could ever make, is caring for the needs of the saints and using the things that God provides for you to meet their needs and to cause thanksgiving to God. And if we don't do that, we're actually robbing God of thanksgiving. That's the language Malachi uses. Malachi actually says that we are robbing God if we're not giving to the work of his kingdom. Now, this is, most men are agreed that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are above and beyond giving, that this is above the tithe. This is not just the 10% that God requires. That's why Paul says, not of commandment, not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. This is beyond even the 10%. I think it was Barna who did a poll recently that said that maybe only 4% of church members in evangelical churches give 10%. If that's true, that is robbing from God thanksgiving and praise. If that's true, that is a heinous sin that we need to repent of. Now, I'm not saying that to any of you. I don't want to know what you give. I don't know what you give. I know this is a generous church, but I want to encourage you to think about the wisdom of God and the purpose of God, that he gets thanksgiving. The more we give, the more thanksgiving he gets. Well, Paul ends this great passage on a gospel note. It's very Pauline. Verse 15, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, why is all this the way it is? Why is this, everything that I've said, why is it the way it is? Well, it's because God is a generous giving God. All of you know John 3:16 by heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish. That God gave his son. That's the language of the scriptures, that Jesus was given. He is a gift. He is not something that we work for. He is actually everything from the heart of God. He is the infinite God. God gives himself. He doesn't give 10%. He doesn't give 20%. He doesn't give 50% of what he has. God gives us himself in Jesus Christ. And we could never earn that. And that is the greatest gift that causes the greatest thanksgiving. That when we consider what Jesus did at Calvary, our hearts should be moved with thanksgiving to God and praise to God who would die for us. And that's the pattern. And so Paul, back in chapter 8, if you'll look back in verse 9, that great verse, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Paul roots all of this in the gospel. You see, we don't give to get, like the health, wealth, prosperity gospel says. We don't give to get and to build up and to prosper financially. And we don't give to find acceptance with God. We don't give because we think somehow that's going to put us in favor with God. We give because God gave, because God is a God that continually gives. In fact, God's whole existence and his whole relationship to us, his creatures, is a relationship of giving. He gives the sun. He gives the rain. He gives food. He gives clothing. He gives friendships. He gives families. He gives relationships. He gives everything. He gives his own son at Calvary to save us from our sins. We who deserve nothing. We who deserve wrath. We who deserve hell. God gives eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so Paul ends by saying, thanks be to God. And you'll note that the purpose of God giving Christ, this indescribable gift, this gift that can't be exhausted in understanding and richness and wealth of Jesus Christ, the purpose was that God would get thanked. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Now, I just want to close by encouraging you in two ways. One is to be thankful for Christ, to be thankful for Jesus Christ, to go home and to meditate on what an indescribable gift he is, to think about what you deserve and who you are and what God is like and why he would give his son and why he would redeem us, why he would send Christ to shed his blood and to breathe his last and to cry out it is finished and to die at Calvary for us and atone for our sins when he had done no wrong, that you would go home and you would meditate on that and you would thank God for Jesus Christ. And then secondly, that you would then seek to produce more thanksgivings by looking for the needs of the saints. My dad, many things I learned from my dad. One thing he used to pray constantly was that God would help us to see the needs and the interests of others. Because we often are blind, willfully blind to them. That we would pray, that you would pray as a church, how you can see the needs and the interests of others. Paul is writing to the church. He's not necessarily writing to individuals. He's writing to this particular church, and that you as a church here at Independent would continue in the good work that you are doing in giving and producing thanksgiving, and know that as you do that, God is getting thanked. Now, we could walk away from this and we could say that was a good challenge, or maybe I didn't like hearing that and that was too harsh, or it could be any number of responses, and we could go back and we could go back to just collecting for ourselves. But remember, when we do that, there is no thanksgiving to God. We are here to bring praise and honor and glory to him. We are here to produce thanksgiving to him. And the way that we do that, one of those ways is through giving to the needs of the saints, to the household of faith, to the work of ministry, to the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus. Let God be praised for his indescribable gift, and let us produce thanksgiving in the lives of others. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you to help us. We are exceedingly sinful. Our hearts are full of selfishness and pride and unthankfulness. And we do thank you for your indescribable gift. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the financial riches that you have given us as well, and pray that you would give us wisdom and hearts to want to give to those in need, that thanksgiving would abound to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for this wisdom and this work that you have called us to. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.